Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service to public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries around the world over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on iatrogenic disease when we come back. You know, when you're making about $50,000 a year, you pay $7,650 in Social Security tax. In addition to that, you pay an additional 17% income tax on that same $50,000. That's another $8,500. And you just paid an extra $1,300 by paying your tax on a tax. And that makes the real effective Social Security tax rate 17.8%. It's not the 15.3% advertised. Now, isn't that real special? If you'd like more information about tax and status, why don't you call the law school at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Help take a bite out of crime. Why don't you call and ask for my free general law CD package while you're at it? Now, that's a four-hour commentary on the law school. It's entertaining, educational, informative, and best of all, free. Tax and status, the school is available on compact disc for adult home education. If you're online, you can order that free general law CD package from the website georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email and send an email request for that free general law CD. Remember, georgegordon.org or call direct 417-273-4967. You know, most people are well aware that an estimated 45 million Americans currently do not have health care. But is the crisis in health care simply the lack of health insurance or even the cost of health insurance per se? Or is there a bigger underlying problem at the root of our health care system? Now, although the United States claims to have the most advanced medicine in the world, government health statistics and peer-reviewed journals are painting a very different picture, a picture that allopathic medicine often causes more harm than good. People in general have always felt that they could trust their doctors and medical profession, but according to the Journal of the American Medical Association in July of 2000, iatrogenic death, also known as death from physician error or death from medical treatment, was the third leading cause of death in America, and it's rising every year. It's responsible for at least 250,000 deaths per year, and those statistics are considered very conservative by many, as the reported numbers only include in-hospital deaths. They do not include injury or disability, and they do not include external iatrogenic deaths, such as those that result from nursing homes or other private facility treatments or adverse effects of prescriptions. One recent study estimated that the total unnecessary deaths from iatrogenic causes at approximately 800,000 per year at a cost of more than $282 billion a year, which would make death from American medicine the leading cause of death in our country. Let me pause right there and point out some very important numbers. You'll notice here that the cost is $282 billion a year. My God, that's more than the cost of the war in Iraq in 3 years. Only 2,000 Americans have died in Iraq over the last 3 years of war, and Americans are really turned off on the Iraq war because of the high death counts. That is, every night on the news, the McNeil-Lehrer people report, well, let me show you the pictures of the six people or eight people that were killed in Iraq. What if they showed the pictures of all of the people that were killed in America's hospitals, nursing homes, and by the drug industry every night? There wouldn't be enough time, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to show the pictures and give that 15 seconds per picture on TV. Now, notice the number 800,000. The numbers that I've read to you for the last two sessions don't include nursing homes and outpatient care. In fact, there's a list of things that they don't count. So if we added those in, it would be something more than a quarter of a million. Now remember, we're down at the low end. The low end is 98,000, and the high end so far is 800,000. There's one other report that comes in that puts it at about 999,000, just a shade under a million a year, being killed by iatrogenic disease. And as I mentioned last time, some of these numbers are probably overlapping. A million is probably too high, and 98,000 is too low. Somewhere in between is the real number. But my God, boys and girls, if you just take the number of deaths that we know that occur every year from the Medicare section, leave everybody else in America out, it's 500 people a day for 390 days. That's more than a year. That's the equivalent of a 747 crashing every day just from the Medicare deaths that are caused by carelessness, that are caused by what we call now iatrogenic disease. Now, going on, currently at least 2 out of 3 Americans use medications. Did you get that? 2 out of 3 Americans. 67% of Americans, 2 people out of every 3, take some kind of drug. Is that a nation of drug addicts? Is that a nation of druggies? You know, 100 years ago, if you said, well, how many people take medicines? I think you'd have found nobody. Nobody's on drugs. Nobody's taking medicine. Today, 2 out of 3, very significant. 32 million Americans are taking 3 or more medications a day, and commercials and advertisements for pharmaceutical drugs have saturated the marketplace. If you want to take a look at the saturation, just watch the news tonight. Watch Bob Schieffer in the news, and then when you sit down, take a pen and paper with you, and every time there's an ad that comes on there, mark it down. It'll be an ad for some kind of a drug, and almost the entire news, the advertising on the news is drug company advertising, and it's not just CBS, it's ABC and NBC also. Now, although our population is aging inexorably, expensive drugs are being marketed and dispensed to younger and younger patients, including many children who years ago would never have been given or needed any medication at all. Today, those children are being drugged up in the public schools with Ritalin. It goes from ADHD to asthma to bipolar disease, diabetes. Clearly, the state of health in this country is not improving, even though there are an increasing number of medications and treatments. Between 2003 and 2010, the number of prescriptions are expected to increase by 47%. Now, in recent years, numerous drugs previously deemed safe by the FDA have been recalled because of their toxicity, after the original drug approvals were actually funded by the invested pharmaceutical companies themselves. Let's pause here and think about this. Did you catch the significance of that statement? Let me read it to you again. In recent years, numerous drugs that have been previously deemed safe by the FDA have been recalled because of their toxicity, after the original drug approvals were actually funded by the invested pharmaceutical companies themselves. Do you remember Vioxx? Well, Vioxx was put on the market. It was on the market for 5 or 6 years. It found out that the drug was killing people, so they took it off the market. Doesn't that tell you that that's an experiment? No, they don't test these drugs for 5 years or 10 years and then say, okay, well, we know this drug is safe because of our testing. They take a look at the drug, and they put it on the market, and then they monitor the results of the drug in the marketplace, and if it kills too many people, they take it off the market, and if it doesn't, they leave it on. Now, did you really want to be a guinea pig in the pharmaceutical company's experiments with Vioxx? And that's just one of many drugs that have been taken off the market in the last 4 or 5 years. That's experimentation. That's not experimenting with willing and knowing volunteers in prison or paying college kids to take these drugs and note down what their adverse reactions are. This is, the drug is put out in the marketplace and it's sold to millions of people. It generates billions of dollars of revenue. And if it doesn't hurt anybody, that's good. If it hurts somebody, that's too bad, and we'll take it off the market. No, thanks. I think I'll let you experiment with it. You let me know how it worked out. Now, according to the media, thanks to advances in U.S. drugs and medical procedures, Americans are living longer statistically, but they are living longer, sicker, with a lower quality of life, and often they are dependent upon multiple expensive synthetic medications that do not cure or address any of the underlying causes of the maladies, but they only suppress the symptoms, often with a plethora of dangerous side effects to the tune of billions of dollars for the drug industry. Considering that the U.S. is supposed to have the most advanced technology in the world and the best healthcare system in the world, it is at odds that we spend the most on healthcare and yet are the most obese and the most afflicted with illness outside of the AIDS epidemic in some third world countries. All right, so let's put a little bracket around that paragraph. Americans are the sickest people in the world, with the exception of AIDS. There are some countries, such as South Africa, where 25% of the people are afflicted with AIDS, or 37% in Botswana land. We're not suffering from that degree of malaise, but we are the 27% of us that are obese, and we have diseases up the yin-yang. And fortunately, we're able to identify all of these diseases, quantify these diseases, and as I reported to you in the last program, I went to a doctor with gout. He could not figure out that it was gout. He did not know that. He did not advise me as to what it was. He said, I don't know what's wrong with you, but here's a prescription for a painkiller. Boys and girls, pain is designed into your body to tell you that something's wrong. When you have a pain, something's wrong and it needs to be fixed. And every disease has a cure. Every disease has a cause. Every pain has a reason for being there. You need to find out what the pain is, then eliminate the cause of the pain, and then it will go away, and that's a cure. Covering it up with morphine or drug drugs to kill the pain doesn't solve the underlying problem. Insulin does not cure diabetes. Why not prevent diabetes, number one, or if you've got it, why not cure the underlying cause of the diabetes and get off the artificial insulin? I know it's a wild new concept, but stick around. Now, unless you have an acute emergency that requires emergency room care, being admitted to a hospital environment may also be more dangerous to your health than staying out. Do you get that? You know, unless you've been shot in the chest with a 45, it would probably be healthier for you to stay out of the hospital than go in. In 2003, epidemiologists reported in the New England Journal of Medicine that hospital-acquired infections have risen steadily in recent decades, with blood and tissue infections known as sepsis almost tripling from 1979 to 2000. Nearly 2 million patients in the United States get an infection while in the hospital each year. And of those patients, 90,000 die per year, up dramatically from just 13,300 in 1992. Statistics show that approximately 56% of the population has been unnecessarily treated or mistreated by the medical industry. 56%. Boys and girls, that's more than half of the people who go to the doctor. More than half. 56% are mistreated. You didn't need anything to start with. You know, it's like these dumb soccer moms. The kid's got an earache. Now, the kid is a hypochondriac and he wants to stay out of school, so he says, "Oh, mommy, I've got an earache." So, mommy takes him to the pediatrician. Pediatrician looks at the kid and he says, "God, I can't see anything wrong with it." And the kid's going, "Hey, God, I've got this terrible earache." So what's the doctor going to do? He says, "Well, okay, I want to give you an antibiotic, kid." So he prescribes an antibiotic, and the mother, now she's a good mother, and she's just really excited about this, and she makes sure that this kid is taking this antibiotic, you know, and keeps him out of school for 2 or 3 days, lavishes all kinds of attention on this kid. And in the final analysis, the earache goes away, and everything is back to normal. Meanwhile, back on the farm, this kid didn't need any antibiotic to start with. It's actually going to work against him in the long run because his body becomes immune to the antibiotic. Furthermore, any disease pathogens that are in there doesn't kill them all, and some of them turn into superbugs, like the super gonorrhea strains now that penicillin doesn't touch. We're over-medicated. And some of the over-medications, which, by the way, the pediatrician is happy to sell you the penicillin because he's got bills to pay, he's got a payroll to meet, he's got taxes that he's got to meet, and he's got boat payments and car payments and everything else, and he wants to sell you that penicillin. You didn't need it, lady, when you started out. When I was a kid and somebody said, "I've got an earache," and the mom would look at him and go to school. And like as not, by the time you got to school, the earache would clear up, and that was the end of it. The ploy didn't work. I remember as a kid, oftentimes we would want to cut school or get out of school, and we'd say, "Well, what are you doing?" "Well, I've got a sore throat." "Well, I've got an earache." "Well, how does that work?" "Well, how do you make it look like you've got an earache?" "Well, you got to cry a lot. You got to make faces. You got to press the issue." I was a kid once. I know how that game is played. Now, where physician errors are concerned, these may not be entirely the fault of the doctors, as the doctors are forced to operate within the constraints of their profession or risk losing their license. But doctors have become pawns and spokesmen for the drug companies, and the best interest of the patient has become secondary. In the name of profit, physicians are also under great pressure from hospitals to service patients as quickly as possible, like an assembly line, increasing the likelihood of error. Now, additionally, as a result of the overuse of pharmaceutical drugs and antibiotics in our bodies and our environment, our immune systems have become significantly weakened, allowing antibiotic-resistant strains of disease-causing bacteria to proliferate. That leaves us more susceptible to further disease, and not surprisingly, incidences of diseases have been growing at epidemic levels, according to the CDC. Now, that's the Center for Disease Control. Now, diseases once thought to be conquered, such as tuberculosis, gonorrhea, malaria, and childhood ear infections, are much harder to successfully treat than they were decades ago. Drugs do not cure. Drugs only suppress. They don't cure. Drugs don't cure. They suppress. The diseases once thought to be conquered, such as tuberculosis, gonorrhea, malaria, and childhood ear infections, are much harder to successfully treat than they were decades ago. Drugs do not cure. They only suppress the symptoms that your body needs to express, while they ignore the underlying root cause, the side effects of the synthetic and chemical drugs, which, even if they are partly derived from nature, have been perverted to make them patentable and profitable, and they're not healthy or natural, and they usually cause more harm than any perceived benefit of the medication. In conclusion, increases in healthcare costs are not just the result of frivolous lawsuits, but they're primarily the result of a profit-oriented industry that encourages practices that lead to unnecessary and harmful procedures being performed. lethal, adverse drug reactions, infections, expensive legitimate lawsuits, in-hospital and physician errors, antibiotic resistance due to overprescribing of antibiotics and drugs, and the hundreds of thousands of subsequent unnecessary deaths and injuries. Many people do not realize that there are healthier, natural options, and anything unnatural or invasive we're exposed to is likely to cause either immediate or cumulative damage over time. Now, if you'd like more information on how to help your body heal itself naturally without chemicals, information on drug side effects and harmful disease-causing chemicals in the foods that you eat and your environment and how to avoid those, why don't you visit Nature Gym website at www.naturegym.com. Nature Gym, N-A-T-U-R-E-G-E-M, all one word, .com. All right, now that's walkabybaby.com. You can go to walkabybaby.com, show article number 12-3. You ever heard of a guy named Gary Null? Well, he's a PhD. He's a health food nut. I just use the term health food nut. Hell, he's probably a pretty nice guy who takes health foods or uses health foods. We do that here. I'm a health food nut, so I'm not being derogatory now by any means. I take vitamins and minerals, and then I eat organic foods, and I'm very careful about eating unclean foods or avoiding them. I don't eat fat and blood and one thing and another. I'm an old man. I'm in pretty good shape. I had a kid come in here the other day and go to work, and he's 20 years old. He couldn't keep up with me. I'm 67. Now, I could work twice what I can today when I was 30, 40 years old. So I'm old and slowing down and I'm getting weak. And it tells me a story. When I was a young kid, I went to work for a guy by the name of Frank Rocha. At the time, he was 50 years old. That was 1955. He was born in 1900. He was 55 years old, to be precise. And that old man could just work circles around me. I was a 15-year-old kid. There wasn't anything that was on that farm that he couldn't do faster, that he couldn't do easier, and do more of it. And I was a big strapping kid. And I marveled at that. And I worked hard to see if someday I could be as tough and be as productive as old Frank Rocha was. Well, ultimately, I grew into that role when I got to be in my 20s. But I've noticed over the years that Americans are getting weaker and weaker. We have fatter and fatter people and more couch potatoes and less active, robust people. That doesn't mean there aren't any, but there's just fewer and fewer of them. We still have some guys around here that are still pretty tough, still hard workers, and can produce a bunch. But it used to be the whole population was like that, with the exception of a few little weakies on the sidelines. Today, most people are weak. They've got some kind of a malady. They've got an allergy, or they've got a bad back, or they've got bad knees, or there's something wrong with this guy. Well, Gary Null, PhD, Carolyn Dean, MD, medical doctor. She's also a naturopathic doctor. Martin Feldman, MD, Deborah Rascio, MD, and Dorothy Smith, PhD. Now, notice that there's three doctors in here. One, two, three doctors out of these five people. And these three doctors and two people with PhDs put out a paper called Life Extension. And if you went to LEFCMS, that's www.lef.org, and just leave the rest of it off, you can probably dig that out. There's a 29-page report called Death by Medicine. Now, if you'll remember, that Death by Medicine was a paper that was put out, and it's the government's term. It's the title of the review that President Clinton said back in 1998, 130,000 people a year were dying from iatrogenic disease. Well, listen to this. Something is wrong when regulatory agencies pretend that vitamins are more dangerous and then yet ignore published statistics showing that government-sanctioned medicine is a bigger hazard than vitamins. Until now, Life Extension could cite only isolated statistics to make its case about the dangers of controversial medicine. No one had ever analyzed and then combined all of the published literature dealing with injuries and deaths caused by government-protected medicine. But all that now has changed. A group of researchers meticulously reviewed the statistical evidence, and their findings are absolutely shocking. These researchers have authored a paper titled Death by Medicine that presents compelling evidence that today's system frequently causes more harm than good. And this fully referenced report shows the number of people having in-hospital adverse reactions to prescribed drugs to be 2.2 million per year. The number of unnecessary antibiotics prescribed annually for viral infections is 20 million per year. 20 million. Let me just put 20 times 25 in here. That's 500. 20 million times $25. Is that $5 billion? Let me just do this again. Let me put 20, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times. $25. 369, that's $500 million a year that the medical industry charges you for giving you a penicillin shot or an antibiotic of some type for a viral infection. That's $500 million of your money put down a rat hole. It does absolutely no good whatsoever. Why do doctors give $500 million worth of antibiotics for viral infections, and everybody knows that the viral infections do not respond at all, zero, zilch, none, nada, to antibiotics? Now, that's just the tip of the iceberg. The number of unnecessary medical and surgical procedures performed annually is 7.5 million. So they operate. They cut out 7.5 million tonsils, appendices, and gallbladders that don't need to be removed. Why are they doing that? Is it because, one, they're stupid, they're ignorant, and they're incompetent, and so they're cutting out your gallbladder because they don't know what they're doing? Or do they, in fact, know what they're doing, and they're very competent and astute people who are selling you something that you don't need, shouldn't have, and ought to avoid if it's at all possible, so that they can line their own pockets with money? I'll let you decide. They're either incompetent or they're greedy scoundrels, one or the other. Is there some third category? Write and let me know if you can find one, would you? Now, the number of people exposed to unnecessary hospitalization annually is 8.9 million a year. That's nearly 9 million. Now, 37 million people a year go to the hospital, or 36 million. 9 million don't need to go. So that's 25% of the people in the country that are hospitalized every year didn't need to go to the hospital anyway. So why did your doctor recommend going to the hospital when you didn't need it? Notice that these numbers fit right around the 25% level. 25% of those that are exposed to an iatrogenic event die. 25%, that's one person out of every four, should not go to the hospital anyway. But they recommend the hospital. Going on, we placed this article on our website to memorialize the failure of the American medical system by exposing these gruesome statistics in painstaking detail. We provide a basis for competent and compassionate medical professionals to recognize the inadequacies of today's system and at least attempt to institute meaningful reforms. Now remember, this one is www.lef.org, lef.org. I don't know what LEF stands for, but whatever it is. www.lef.org, 29-page report, and it starts out, it's called Death by Medicine. Let's take a little gander at Death by Medicine when we come back, and I'll give you the statistics and the facts and figures, and if it doesn't blow your socks off, nothing will. Where's my paper here? And let me give you a reminder here at the halfway point that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide, over the Internet. For more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. I want to remind you that a bunch of tapes and papers and books and material went out of the school here with the wrong phone number on it. We got back from the printer and didn't notice that they had put the wrong prefix number on our telephone. Now, this telephone's been here for 40 years, and I give you this number every time I put on a program. And the number 273, the prefix is correct. It always has been. But if you got a document from us, or you got a paper brief, school, or something, and then you tried to call us and you used the wrong prefix and you got a number, the number's out of service or something, just go back to some other piece of paper and you'll get the right number. We've corrected it as of today. It's only been going on for the last 30 days, so we isolated that error. But for about 30 days, the material that's been going out of here has had the wrong phone number on it. Now remember, the law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now the law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. For more information, just go to our homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is carried worldwide on the Internet. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest, and the Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, news, and current events 7 days a week. The Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. To order yours, just call the Law School and ask for it. The number is 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief. The Law Hour and editorial review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse and recommend books, periodicals, papers, and newsletters to our listeners. These endorsements or recommendations that we give do not mean that those authors or publications that we endorse or recommend are going to reciprocate. And most of these authors and publications that we cite on the Law Hour are political, or they're religious, economic, or they're sectarian, or racial, or ethnic partisans, whose viewpoint is not necessarily endorsed by the Law Hour and editorial review. Now, the opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They do not necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of our advertisers, sponsors, management, or staff of this network or local radio station. For more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please go to our website, georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or call the law school direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we're reviewing Death by Medicine. Remember Gary Null, PhD, Carolyn Dean, MD, and ND, that's a naturopathic doctor, Martin Feldman, MD, Deborah Razio, MD, and Dorothy Smith, PhD. Notice here that what we're reviewing, this isn't George Gordon, plumber, or Joe Sixpack or Sally Housewife. These are medical doctors, the people that are in the field themselves, that are reviewing the statistics that are now coming out, at least have been coming out for the last 7 years. First time I heard about iatrogenic disease was when Bill Clinton, President Clinton, said we're killing 130,000 people a year through carelessness and mistake in our hospitals, and we can do better than that, and we've got to do better than that, and I'm going to sign this legislation, and we're going to do something about it. And I remember at the time, I said, you know, I knew there was a good reason why I avoid doctors and hospitals, and now I know what it is. Well, the 130,000 number, as it turns out, is only about half of the most conservative number that you can reasonably or intelligently arrive at. Now, I've cited numbers as low as 98,000, but that only checks a certain limited group. I showed you another group, the Medicare group. It's killing 195,000 of that group. That's a single group of 37 million people. Now we're taking a look at a larger study called Death by Medicine, which is being conducted here by a pretty prestigious group and overseen by a number of doctors. Not to say that every medical doctor that's out there is a dirty, unscrupulous, no-down, or no-good, low-down so-and-so. If you'll remember Dr. Mendelsohn, I've cited from his books, the Confessions of a Medical Heretic. Hey, listen, once in a while, there's a guy comes along and says, hey, let me tell you what's really going on here. And all of those Mendelsohn books you can get in your health food store. Just walk into a health food store and say, hey, I'm looking for some good books on the medical profession. And Dr. Mendelsohn, if you can remember that name, Robert Mendelsohn, Confessions of a Medical Heretic and How to Raise a Healthy Child in Spite of Your Pediatrician. That's two of his books. He's written many. They're very humorous, and they're just gut-wrenching. I mean, they'll just scare the pee-wadding out of you. If you don't have diarrhea, I mean, you still need to be careful when you read those books. Now, listen to this. Natural medicine is under siege. As pharmaceutical companies and lobbyists urge lawmakers to deprive Americans of the benefits of dietary supplements, drug company front groups have launched slanderous media campaigns to discredit the value of healthy lifestyles. And the Food and Drug Administration continues to interfere with those who offer natural products that compete with prescription drugs. These attacks against natural medicine obscure a lethal problem that until now was buried in thousands of pages of scientific text. In response to these baseless challenges to natural medicine, the Nutrition Institute of America commissioned an independent review of the quality of government-approved medicine. The startling findings from this meticulous study indicate that conventional medicine is the leading cause of death in the United States. Now, I'm going to underline this leading cause of death because when we get down here to who's being killed by what, we'll find here that cancer kills half a million people a year plus, that heart disease kills 750,000 people a year, round numbers, 750,000. But iatrogenic disease, doctor-induced disease, kills at least 250,000. That makes it the third largest disease, third largest cause of death in America. And you'll see in this paper and in a couple of others where the numbers go as high as a million a year out of 2.5 million people that die every year. If a million of them, just think of that, a million of them are dying, that's 40% from the doctors. Now, you're going to die anyway. There's no doubt about that. What we don't know is when are you going to die? And how are you going to die? Are you going to die from old age with your shoes off in bed in the middle of the night in your sleep, called natural causes, or are you going to die from a heart attack or stroke, which probably isn't caused by the medical doctor, but are you going to go to the medical doctor with the heart attack or the stroke or the cancer, and he's going to kill you with the drugs that he's giving you under the guise of, hey, I think I can cure this? Well, the Nutrition Institute of America is a nonprofit organization that has sponsored independent research for the past 30 years. To support its bold claim that conventional medicine is America's number one killer, the Nutritional Institute of America mandated that every count in this indictment of U.S. medicine be validated by published peer-reviewed scientific studies. I'm going to bracket that paragraph, and let me give you a caveat on that. I don't trust Nutrition Institute of America or the American Medical Association or any of the others of these independent think tanks and groups, and I'll tell you why. As a salesman, as a merchant, I know that there are a lot of lies that go on in the form of advertising. So in order to gain people's confidence, we like to tell them that there's this prestigious group over here that you can rely upon because of their name, the National Institutes of Medicine, the Food and Drug Administration, the Department of Agriculture. And then when you get into what these people are actually doing, you find out that these people have a profit motive. For instance, it's a very common practice for a pharmaceutical company to say things like, 9 out of 10 doctors recommend Anacin. Now, here's the way they do that. They go out here and they find 10 doctors. And they say to doctor number one, do you recommend Anacin? He says, no, I recommend Buffer. Good. You stand over here. And then they go out here and they interview maybe 100, 1,000, or 10,000 doctors, as many as it takes until they find 9 doctors that recommend Anacin. Now, these 9 doctors who recommend Anacin, they say, you stand over here in this group. Now, they can photograph these guys. They can get their names, addresses, and telephone numbers. And the pharmaceutical company, the Anacin company, can confidently advertise that 9 doctors out of 10 recommend Anacin. Now, here's what's deceptive. When they tell us that, they're telling us the truth. They actually have 9 doctors out of 10 that they have interviewed, taken their names, telephone numbers, and probably paid them $1,000 each for the use of their names in this promotion. And they can legitimately report to the Food and Drug Administration that, yes, we went out into the marketplace and we found 10 doctors. 9 of the 10 recommended Anacin. And here are their names and addresses, and here are the 10 doctors. That's true. It leads us to believe that out of the millions of doctors in the world, that if they had to recommend to you a pain reliever, they would, 9 times out of 10, 90% of all doctors recommend Anacin, and that's just pure bullshit. It's a damn lie. That's what Mark Twain called a damn lie. He said there's lies, damn lies, and then there's statistics. And I distrust these statistics also. I distrust them because as an advertiser and as a merchant myself, I've used numbers to deceive people. Yes, I'm a paid professional liar, and I went out into the marketplace and hired paid professional liars called marketers to devise the advertising for me to go out into the marketplace and to sell my products. Now, the Death by Medicine report, I'm sure, has some validity to it, and I'm sure that this article and that these numbers that we see here have some validity. But boys and girls, when you read statistics that run as low as 98,000 and as high as 1 million, somewhere in between, we're going to find the truth. So even the culprits admit that there's 98,000 deaths a year. But the other side, and there's two sides to this argument. You've got the allopathic medicine doctors, that's the conventional boys, and they're the mouthpieces for the drug industry, and they're in business for profit. And I don't blame them. I'm not opposed to doctors making profit. I think they should make money. I don't begrudge them the fact that they're making money. I begrudge the fact that they come to us and lie. So it's very common for a pharmaceutical company to go out and manufacture the statistics that they want to use. 9 doctors out of 10 recommend Anacin. I said, just plain BS. No other way to put it. Now, in addition to that, there can actually be some truth involved in the advertising claims. So, if we're going to be objective about this, and you and I, just being plumbers, carpenters, electricians, and the average Joe Sixpacks, if we take the low numbers and we stick with the low numbers and we don't believe everything that we read and hear, and we look for at the mouth of 2 witnesses or at the mouth of 3 witnesses shall the matter be established, by the time we see 3 or 4 reports and we put the numbers together, and while the numbers may not be exact, the numbers start to show us a trend, and I pointed that trend out. About 25% seems to be the trend. Now, here's a number for you to keep in mind. Only 10% of these adverse reactions are reported. Now, that number varies from the various reports, from as low as 5% to as high as 20%. So if we took the highest possible number, that is 20% of medical doctors, when they commit an error and kill somebody, they report it. They tell on themselves. That means that 80 don't. So whatever the number is that we're reading here, we're not getting the whole story, because the only time that these iatrogenic diseases are uncovered is when an investigation goes into the medical records and they start digging and looking. And you and I, boys and girls, even if we were handed the medical records, couldn't read them and understand them. It wouldn't mean anything to us. So fortunately, there are a few good, honest medical doctors in the field who are reporting on the rest of the medical doctors in the field. And they're reporting to us that there's a lot of skullduggery afoot, but we don't know how much. There's a bunch, but we actually don't have the same number as we would if we had an airplane crash, because nobody's looking for it. And I say, boys and girls, that if you're killing 195,000 people in Medicare a year, and that's a very conservative figure. That's based upon about 7 million samples that they ran. Boy, you take a look at 7 million people that died, and then you take a look at their autopsies, and you take a look at their medical records, and you extrapolate that out, and you say, oh my God, look what's going on here with the Medicare system. Now, that gets real scary real fast. Now, when we're reading a paper that's put out by the chiropractors and the nutrition people, they're going to exaggerate to the high side, and when we're looking at numbers that come from the doctors and the medical people, they're going to exaggerate to the low side. Somewhere in between is where the truth really lies. So let's see if we can dig out a little more truth. He goes on to say, what you're about to read is a stunning compilation of facts that documents that those who seek to abolish consumer access to natural therapies are misleading the public. Over 700,000 Americans die each year at the hands of government-sanctioned medicine, while the FDA and other government agencies pretend to protect the public by harassing those who offer safe alternatives. A definitive review of medical peer-reviewed journals and government health statistics shows that American medicine frequently causes more harm than good. Each year, approximately 2.2 million U.S. hospital patients experience adverse drug reactions, or called ADRs, to prescribed medications. In 1995, Dr. Richard Besser of the Federal Center for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC, estimated the number of unnecessary antibiotics prescribed annually for viral infections to be 20 million. In 2003, Dr. Besser spoke in terms of tens of millions of unnecessary antibiotics prescribed annually. Approximately 7.5 million unnecessary medical and surgical procedures are performed annually in the United States, while approximately 8.9 million Americans are hospitalized unnecessarily. So as shown in the following table, the estimated total number of iatrogenic deaths, that is, deaths induced inadvertently by a physician or surgeon or by medical treatment or diagnostic procedures in the United States, is 783,936. Now that's not quite up to our 1 million yet. That comes from another report. But in this report, which is called Death by Medicine, put out by Gary Null, who, remember now, is a health food guy. He's promoting natural cures and natural health foods. 783,936. And that's because they added them up. Now here's table one, the estimated annual mortality and economic cost of medical intervention. And it lists over here the authors, such as Lazarus and IOM, and Barzak and Weinstein, Nurses Coalition, Starfeld, Weingart, the HCUP, and the AHRQ. And then, of course, they've got a syllabus over here that sends us back here to the bibliography and identifies the group. So I'm not going to bore you with a lot of details, but there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 agencies or groups that have compiled these numbers. Now listen to the first number. Adverse drug reactions kill 106,000 people a year with an annual cost of $12 billion. The author was Lazaru, L-A-Z-A-R-O-U. A medical error, 98,000, $2 billion in lost medical or medical costs put out by the IOM. Now that's the Institute of Medicine. Bed sores, 115,000, $55 billion in costs put out by Barczak, B-A-R-C-Z-A-K. Infection, 88,000, $5 billion in costs put out by Weinstein, the MMWR. Malnutrition, 108,800 put out by the Nurses Coalition. Outpatients, 199,000 dead. $77 billion in costs put out by Starfield and Weingart. Unnecessary procedures kill 37,136 at a cost of $122 billion, and that's put out by the HCUP. I don't know what those letters stand for without looking them up. And surgery-related, $32,009 billion in costs put out by the American Hospital something RQ. All right, now there's eight. Now, that's 106,000 deaths from adverse drug reactions. Medical errors kill 98,000. Bed sores kill 115,000. Infections kill 88,000. Malnutrition kills 108,800. Outpatients, they kill 199,000. Unnecessary procedures kills 37,136. And surgery-related deaths, 32,000. All of these now are what we call iatrogenic diseases. Add them all up, and it totals 783,936. And this comes from eight sources. Now, of course, from our perspective, that is you and me, how do you know that this guy Lazarus over here is telling you the truth? Hell, I don't know. I didn't read his report. I didn't see that. I'm reading a series of reports. Now, what we do is we put together this biblical principle: at the mouth of two witnesses or at the mouth of three witnesses shall the matter be established. More than likely, as these reports are being put together by these eight different groups, there's some overlapping. That perhaps some of the people that died from adverse drug reactions were also counted as having bed sores. I mean, if the guy had bed sores, and he also had an adverse drug reaction, and maybe he was an outpatient at the same time, he died at home with bed sores that he got in the hospital, and the autopsy said that he died from an overdose of some kind of drug, he might actually get counted in all three of those categories, which is why we would have 783,000 instead of 250,000. How many of those overlapping statistics we have, I don't know. No doubt there are some. Now, 786,000 is not, or 783,000 is not the top number. There's another report in here that extrapolates the same kinds of numbers and comes up with nearly a million. It was just about 100 short of a million. Again, they tend to exaggerate depending upon what product you're selling. If you're selling vitamin pills, then you're selling away from medical services. And if you're selling away from something, then you're telling the other guy, this is no good. Now, let me tell you a story here about selling away from. It's an old salesman's technique. We've got a product over here that has a good profit margin in it. And then we've got other products over here that are much better, but they don't have as much profit in them. So I'm a furniture salesman, and I'm in the bedding department of the furniture store. And I've got a particular bed over here with a particular type of mattress. The whole outfit sells for $500, and I only have to pay $200 for it, and I make $300 profit off of it, and I want to sell it. But it's an ugly dog. And customers come in, they look at it, they don't want to buy it. Then over here, I've got some other bed over here that's a pretty good-looking thing over here, and it's really a better product, and I buy it for $200, and I sell it for $3. So the customer wants it. They're very popular, And it's the hot item, but I only make $100 on it. And this other dog over here is a product that I make $300 on. So as a salesman, as a businessman, which one do I want to sell? I want to sell the one with the biggest profit in it. So I need to sell away from these over here that are good. So a customer comes in and he looks at this bed over here, and I say, that's a fine bed and that's a good choice that you have. And for only $300, you can have that bed. But over here, I've got one for $500, and this bed over here has bells and whistles, and I tell you all these good things over here about this bed, this one that you don't like, you know, this dog that's uncomfortable and the whole thing. And I tell you about, you see, the reason that this bed is more money is because it's obviously better. We do this with canned goods. See, if you got Always Save on the label, it sells for 80 cents. If it says Del Monte, it sells for $1.25. Obviously, Del Monte is better. It sells for more. The fact that they were both made in the same cannery by the Del Monte people with a different label put on the can is irrelevant and immaterial. And that's what you call selling away from. So I'm over here selling away from this good product over here and selling you this bad product because it's got the higher margin in it. Well, the same thing happens here in medicine. Same thing happens in automobiles. Same thing happens in furniture. Houses. Doesn't make any difference what it is. It's just a term that we use in sales called selling away from. Sometimes we use terms like it's a lost leader. Or we have these various and sundry terms which are designed to sell you things that you don't need, shouldn't have, can't use, and are probably bad for you, like a McDonald's cheeseburger. But God, it tastes good, it looks good, it smells good, and when you eat it, you're going to love it. Whether it makes you fat, makes you obese, whether it kills you, that's another story. That's another story for another day. Now, when somebody is giving you the numbers over here, you got to be pretty circumspect. You got to say, okay, I hear you. I got your numbers. Let me write these down. So if you've got these numbers written down, boys and girls, it's 106,000 for the ADRs, adverse drug reactions. Medical errors is 98,000. Bed sores, 115,000. Infections, 88,000. Malnutrition, 108,800. Outpatients, 199,000. Unnecessary procedures, 37,136. Surgery related, 32,000. Write those down. Keep them in front of you. Next time when we come back, we'll take a look at some other reports and we'll see how close these other reports and other reporters have to these very same numbers. And if they come out close, we'll be getting closer and closer to the truth. All right, we're about out of time. I got to leave it right there. You've been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review. Remember, we're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States and 7 days a week worldwide over the internet. If you'd like more information about the law school and the Law Hour, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals by prearrangement. The Law Hour is carried worldwide on the internet. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the internet by title and date, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Time's up. I'll leave it right there. See you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station, God willing, of course. Until then, thanks for listening, and good night, friends.